You ready to check your feelings at the door?
Check it out. Check it out.
This is Am I Reister or Am I Wrong? We're bringing you facts and only the truth. Now, Am I Reister or Am I Wrong?
It is 2022. Reister Wrong is back. I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amston. And this is Reister or Wrong, the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. So today, our 2022 downfall list. What or who do we want to see go down in 2022? Aaron Rodgers is a potential MVP, but not for one voter. He's dead ass wrong. Kyrie Irving is getting ready to make his return to the Brooklyn Nets. How's that going to work out? Urban Meyer. Oh, he's forgetting things again. Oh, he forgot that he used the Trayvon Martin hoodie to say no hoodies, as opposed to teaching people to not just be scared of black people. And Super Bowl could be impacted by COVID. That's what we got on track today. So, Ralph, I guess we'll get started with the 2022 downfall list. So I didn't even know that this existed until you informed me about it. So tell the people what a 2022 downfall list is.
I didn't know this thing was a thing either until it came across my timeline. Somebody on Twitter, and apparently more people than just this person did it, made a list of things that they want to see fail in the upcoming year. Praying on their downfall list 2022 from Twitter user at Tall Black Guy, T-A-W-L. And on his list, he has Clay Travis, Emmanuel Acho, Andrew Wiggins, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Baker Mayfield, who he already crossed off as having completed his 2022 downfall already, IPA Beer, the Sneakers app, Candace Owens, Raising Cane's, Xbox Consoles, Mark Wahlberg, Chet Hanks, James Harden, The Bachelor and Bachelorette Shows, and Boneless Wings.
Bro. Oh, okay, so
I don't think that's what you're supposed to use prayer for, but I give him points for being innovative.
Well, I looked at that list and I was like, okay. Boneless Wings can definitely get a downfall, except for kids. They're just completely unnecessary. Completely.
Wait. So what are you saying? Like, if you go to Wingstop, you get your kids, you get your kids bone in. So what?
No. Some of them like boneless wings though. Well, actually one in particular, he's a weirdo though.
See, they say that boneless wings are just nuggets, but no, not nuggets are nuggets. They don't have that much breading on them.
And nuggets are usually like filler meat. Like they're like nuggets are not boneless wings, where like you expect boneless wings to actually be like breast meat.
Yeah. I don't know. I worked at Applebee's for a couple of years. I don't know.
Oh God. I never eat that place. Oh God. Yeah. No.
Neither
oh.
do I. And I worked there. So, and I don't have super high standards.
All right. So who's on your 2022 downfall list?
Well, if I was praying on the downfall of anything, number one for me would be the entire Dutton family on the show Yellowstone.
Dude, how dare you? How dare you? That family is trying to protect their freaking land, man.
And I hope they fail miserably. In a way that erases, like, imagine what a plot twist that would be to the show Yellowstone. It's like, oh no, a comet hit and Kevin Costner and his whole family died. And I'd be the only person probably cheering that result. I do not care for that family. It's possible because I went into the show not knowing that it was going to be like a Breaking Bad type situation where there were no good guys. But I certainly don't root for them. and would not mind if they failed miserably, got their land taken away by hook or crook. I definitely am hopeful that their lives continue to be miserable.
You are a special type of human for that, man. That is loser behavior, dude.
Okay. Because I'm rooting against the bad guys.
They're not bad guys. They are the protagonist in the story.
You can't be a protagonist, murderer, thief.
Yes, you.
No.
What is Dexter?
Anti-hero.
Okay.
They're not. Okay. All right. Whatever. I'm the one with the literary degree here, and I still don't know what I'm talking about. But that's my number one. What's your number one?
My number one, COVID. Easy.
Okay, well, now I look like an asshole.
COVID is number one on my downfall list. It is ruining everything. It is ruining everything right now.
That's fair. Well,
I shouldn't even say right now, for the last 2 years. Like, as soon as you think that, oh, yeah, we're going to go back to concerts, we're going to BS. They're even canceling concerts in Florida. In Texas. So you already know what that means.
I hate it. Yeah, no, we went the entire 22 months of the pandemic. There was one day over 300,000 confirmed cases. And it was in the middle of the height of the wave in January of last year. And now we have a 7 day average of 500,000 or something. So it's as bad as it's ever been. With a potentially more mild strain and better herd immunity and everything like that. But you're still watching hospitals fill up and the whole thing, and sporting events get it canceled and postponed, and concerts. And it's awful. And Chicago shut down and they sent all the kids home from school. And I don't know how much longer that's sustainable with parents and everything. So I'm with you. I probably should have said COVID, but since I'm a good co-host, I gave you the assist. You look good. I look bad. It is what it is.
All right. On my list next is SEC bias, dude. SEC bias in college football. And I'm saying it here. The SEC is 100% overrated, except for Alabama and Georgia. Their rosters are 100% different. And as far as everybody else would fit in other conferences, no problem. They would be they're middle tier in the SEC. They'd be middle tier over there too. And as far as and I know that some other conferences are top heavy too, but I'm just saying, like, that those two teams are elite. They are special. They are different than the rest. So I don't want to hear that, oh, we're the SEC. Get out of here, bro. You can't just claim greatness because two people in your, like, we're the greatest American family ever because two of your, guys were president and the rest of you guys are just regular.
How close to COVID was that one for you? Was it a clear one and two, or was that 1A, 1B?
Nah, that was a clear one and two, but then they'll be like, well, LSU won and Auburn won. Listen, a broke clock is right twice a day. We're talking about consistent excellence, and that's what's happening at Alabama and Georgia right now. Everybody else is just paying rent.
Okay. I guess for me, it would be high school sports parents that go after coaches and refs from the stands. I don't know specifically what bad thing I want to have happen to them. Whether it's getting, banned from, because it's another thing when it's club sports. If you're dropping $5K for your kid to play, and that money is directly going into the pockets of referees, bark away. It doesn't bother me. It's definitely it grates on me when I'm at a club event, and the parents are going at the refs hard and going at the coaches hard and acting entitled and ridiculous. But one of the things about being entitled is acting like you own the joint. And in club, you're directly paying for the experience. And so it's less offensive to me. But when I go to these high school football games or high school basketball games, like, you know, paid for by tax money, public institutions with refs barely, you know, making a dime, to see some of the stuff the parents yell at them, and you have more and more parents running onto the court, getting physical and stuff like that. I don't know if we
That's
need
way
like,
too far.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it happened again this week. Like, a guy got a jail sentence. So I don't know if it's like shock collars with like an invisible electric fence, or like a bark collar that you got to put on some of these parents.
You got to do whatever it is that you got to do to make it stop, because it can't keep continuing like that.
You got to maybe give the authority for like the PA announcer to roast parents. How funny would it be for you to go to a Sierra Canyon game, and the person that's actually like Bronny James for two, and you in the red sweater, shut your fat face. Like, how great would it be to have the PA announcer have the ability to like talk back to some of these parents? I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, no, that would be absolutely awesome. All right. Next on my list is Demetria, that numbers dude. And when I say Demetria, I mean QAnon and every other fringe weirdo, you know,
conspiratorial.
Yes. Stop it. 100% stop it, dude. Like, I mean, these people like talking about freaking, you know, John Legend's wife, Chrissy Teigen, drinking baby's blood and freaking
Pizzagate people and whatnot.
Yes. And the fact that sports games are fixed and everything is this and that, like, bruh, stop. I'm praying for their complete and utter downfall. I mean, is there a worse than a downfall? I don't want the people to die. I want the ideological part of it to die. I want it dead.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's nice that there's consequences for some of these people. Like you sent me earlier in the day that the founder of Entrada, which is like a software company that helps leasing properties, rental properties, apartment complexes, manage all of their data and everything like that. he sent an email to all of Utah's business leaders saying that the entire COVID-19 epidemic and pandemic was actually a plot by Hasidic Jews to exterminate Catholics. His name is David Bateman, and he has had to resign from his company. And he like sent it to the owner of the Utah Jazz and everything. So it's claiming it's turning people's brains into complete jello, all this conspiracy theory stuff. And I guess praying for the downfall of conspiracy theories is definitely something that is worthy. My third one is Zillow. I hope that Zillow, the website, ceases to exist. Oh,
what
man.
Did Zillow do to you, bro?
It just sucks up all of my time and energy. It just is an enormous time suck. And it is, and first of all, them as a company, and a lot of real estate investors out there that have driven up the cost of both rent and residential properties, are going to lead us to our next bubble. Like the next bubble is this whole agreement, that there's, you know, the idea that there's this shortage on houses when there's not. There would be ample properties for people to purchase had investors not completely turned their attention to buying and up
bought
these
them
homes.
All yeah
yep and then absorbing the cash from people who are fleeing California, New York, or who are just retiring, or who are using their equity to be able to afford these large purchases. They're just soaking up all of that money in different communities all over the country. Is it raising the home value of a lot of people who are able to use that equity for maybe some good things? Sure, but you are literally pricing new home buyers completely out of the market and causing rent prices to go up like exponentially, and Zillow was in on that investment, and they actually created a bubble that they're suffering from now because they can't offload the homes at the elevated price that they were paying for some of them. But I have to say, like, I bought a new home 8 months ago, and for some reason I'm still on Zillow for 15 to 20 minutes every single day. For who knows why. I don't even understand why I've developed this habit. So if that website disappeared tomorrow, my life would be better.
Okay. Sheesh.
Any last ones or honorable mentions that you'd like to see go up in flames?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Anybody anybody who preys on LeBron James's downfall is like personal. Like, I'm talking about his personal downfall. Forget his sports, because you can have your sports and all of that. But the people who act like he's the worst human being ever, or that he is the problem for the world's ills, I can't, bro. They need to go fly a kite, take a long walk off a short pier, and figure it out, because they have lost their marbles, bro.
I feel you on that one. I think anybody that gets too mad at anyone in sports, and I'm going to include anybody out there who has like a conservative opinion or isn't like, doesn't toe the liberal line. Like, yeah, you can just enjoy somebody for what they do on the field. You actually have the ability as a consumer to control what you invest your time and energy in. If you embrace an athlete because they share some of your political views, like this whole Aaron Rodgers thing, where you had a guy say that he's not going to vote for him for MVP because of, you know, all of this off the field stuff, and then Aaron Rodgers came out and called that voter a bum. you can, if your job is to vote for who is the MVP of the league on the field, you can just pay attention to that and have an issue. You don't have to have these things bleed into each other,
bro. And I'm a person who is clearly on one side of certain arguments and stuff like that, right? But the idea that you would not vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP because you don't like the fact that he lied about the vaccine, you should have your vote taken away. This is no different than baseball writers who have Hall of Fame votes who don't vote for Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds, or didn't vote for Terrell Owens in his first year of candidacy. You are a loser. 100% loser, bro, because there is no way that you can make any sense out of the fact that this dude is one of the best players to ever tie up shoes, and Aaron Rodgers is having the best season this year. But you specifically say, oh, yes, he is having the best season, but I'm not voting for him. Dude, that I can't, dude. It's tiring. It's weak. It's old. It's lame, and you're not doing your job.
Yeah. My last one, George, have you ever heard anybody with the last name Hitler in the last like 50, 60 Hell years? Nah. Yeah. Okay. So my last one is the Sackler family name. I think that it should be completely erased. I think that if you are part of the Sackler, and if you don't know who the Sackler family are,
I was just going to ask this, buddy.
They are the people behind Purdue Pharma, who essentially kickstarted the opioid epidemic by marketing OxyContin to people, which then turned into heroin addictions, which then turned into fentanyl addictions, is killing people all over the country every single day. A lot of the young athletes that I covered who, you know, get a knee injury in high school, get on painkillers, and then eventually turn to other drugs and pass away because they get something off the street and it has fentanyl in it. The Sackler family, like that name, if you were in that family now, you should have to, the name goes away. You should have to legally change your last name, their name and their fortune completely erased into just absolutely obliterated. That is, I would fully support no one in history from this point on ever having that last name again, and for people to look at that last name in the same way they look at in the same way they look at the other name that I mentioned at the start of this.
Yeah. I think that that's fair. That's fair. Because, I mean, it's not fair to their kids and all of that but, you know, I don't think anybody cares about that.
When history is finished with them, I don't think any of their kids or their kids' kids, I don't think anybody's going to want it. That is my goal, that no one would ever want to carry that last name. I probably should have done these in a reverse order.
Right.
You're also, the fictional family, the Duttons, and the real family, the Sacklers.
Yeah. Well, all right.
And Zillow.
Well, we already kind of lightly covered the next topic, which was Aaron Rodgers and his not getting the MVP by at least one voter and how lame that is. But
is he the MVP?
Yes.
To you? He is?
I don't know. I mean, the only other candidate that you would have being that defensive players can't win is essentially.
Yeah,
it's like the Heisman. So when you assume that criteria, which I absolutely hate, right?
Yeah.
Then you do have to vote for him.
Man, I even after winning the MVP last year.
Yeah. Yes. Who else would you give it to? See,
so were you saying that Aaron Rodgers has exceeded expectations or improved, or
no? It's who had the best season, like that. See, they do this in the NBA all the time, where they get to, oh well, this guy had the best. Well, they keep wanting to get something new instead of just who had the best season. That's why LeBron only has 4 MVPs instead of 16. You know what I mean? Like, you should give it to the best player, period.
All right. Well, there's only one quarterback in the NFL with 40 touchdown passes. Only one.
Yeah.
And that's Tom Brady. So we can maybe make that argument.
I can make an argument for Tom, too. I can make an argument for Tom.
I mean, he's thrown the ball a lot more and completed over 100 more passes.
Yeah. I think the knock from some people on Tom this year has just been that he's had a couple real stinkers, dude. I mean, absolutely real stinkers. And Aaron Rodgers has had, and granted, it wasn't necessarily his fault because he lost all of his wide receivers in one game. But still, you know what I mean? Like that, I think that's been used as a knock against him a little
bit. I would not be upset, because this is probably the best 4-year run at quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Mm.
Like, yeah. He has, in the last 4 years in which he has played all 16 games, all 4 years in a row, guess how many, without looking it up, guess how many interceptions he has in the last 4 years, 65 regular season games.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Oh, in the last 4 years. So it's 7, 14, I think 19.
15.
Yeah. Which is absurd.
Yeah. Especially considering he has like 133 touchdown passes.
And that's why he's so much better than freaking what's his face? Oh my God.
Brett Favre?
Brett Favre. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose, but they've got the same results, right? If Super Bowls are what matters. P.S. That take you tried to sneak from the Unafraid Show Twitter account the other day is ridiculous.
I didn't tweet that out.
You believe it though.
I do believe it. I did not send it, but I definitely do believe it.
Peyton Manning played for the Patriots the entire time that Tom Brady played for the Patriots, that they would have more Super Bowls than they had to Tom Brady. Believe that?
I do. Core. Yes.
There's just a very simple reason why that doesn't make sense to me.
Why?
Because there are 17 playoff games, 17 in Peyton Manning's career, in which he threw one touchdown or less. 13 of those times they got eliminated.
Okay.
So like it was his fault.
No,
it wasn't an issue of the Colts defense. It was Peyton Manning played worse than he usually plays.
But it was the Colts defense.
The Colts defense doesn't control how many touchdown passes Peyton Manning throws. Okay. If it's one or less, he had a bunch with zero.
Yes, he did. But it's like if you look at their coaching staffs, their offense, everything, their support, the way that they built their rosters, everything. Because Peyton Manning is more talented. And this is not a knock on Tom Brady, because I think Tom Brady is fantastic. Love Tom Brady. But Peyton Manning, or if you replace him with Aaron Rodgers, you get more Super Bowls, bro. Just saying.
That's tough. Because Tom Brady has more than triple what both of them are. No, not triple, because obviously the Denver Super Bowl. So it's 7-3 when you combine the two of them. I don't 7-5 if you throw Ben Roethlisberger in there. I don't know, man. I don't know. I disagree, because I think the beat on Peyton Manning was that he came up short in elimination games over and over and over again. I don't know what would make him that much better of a player. I don't think there would be 13 games where Tom Brady got eliminated where he threw one touchdown or less if he played for the Colts.
Yeah.
I think Peyton Manning's the best regular season quarterback I've ever seen. Aaron Rodgers, you can make an argument, but I don't see it. I don't see it. Maybe with Aaron Rodgers. I've never seen anybody that talented in my life, but sometimes you can't have it all. So sometimes you're just really good in the playoffs and have a great circumstance, and sometimes you're the best regular season quarterback ever.
Yep. I just reject that about Tom, about him, dude. Good God, that is like the worst narrative about him. But anyways.
What if he wins again? What if he wins again?
Okay.
He might.
All right. Kyrie Irving will be making his return. Well, is expected to make his return for the Brooklyn Nets tonight. And he's going to get a chance to play every fourth night. And then he'll have a road back and all of that stuff. So are you excited to see him back?
Yes. Because he is one of the most talented players we've ever had at the point guard position. He is incredible at what he does. I enjoy watching him play basketball. I also sometimes enjoy the nonsense, and there's been less of it with him not around, even though you can argue that him not being around is nonsense. It's perpetual nonsense. But no, I love watching Kyrie play basketball. You would have to hate basketball to not like watching Kyrie play.
Now that I firmly agree with. You would have to hate basketball to not like him, to not like to see him play. All right. Now, the next question for you is, now Klay Thompson is supposed to make his return on Sunday. Which one are you more excited about?
Klay Thompson, just because I think that the Golden State has been so good that I want to see if it's possible for them to have that much more like wins above replacement for the production that they have been getting. I just want to see like what, like part of me, and I'm sure you as well, I'm like, oh God, what if they win out? Like that's how good we're talking, because they're already playing B plus basketball without one of the top 10 players in the game and who is complimentary. It's not like he's going to go in there and gum it up and they're going to have to figure things out like with Russell Westbrook and the Lakers, where they're trying to find their way. This is a guy who, you know, plays in that system incredibly well. So I am more excited about Klay Thompson. Who is the better basketball player? Like, and I'm talking like who makes their team better, Klay or Kyrie?
Klay, because he's a good defender and can score just as well. Kyrie's more of just an offensive player.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm really fascinated to see the three of them on the court healthy. I just want to know what it looks like. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this, where you have three guys who can all pull up off the dribble, three guys who could also run the point if they wanted to. Will they gel? And are we on the way to having a Warriors Nets championship?
No, nope. We're not on the way to that. No, no. But we are on the way to having a Warriors in the championship, though. Sorry.
Who do you think would come out of the East?
The Bucks.
I think the Bucks are coming. I forgot about them. I blocked that out of my mind.
Yeah, because Giannis is going to go crazy, and you know, he's unlocked the cheat code, so it's
over. What is more likely, a Nets Warriors finals or a 2020 rematch? 2021 rematch of the Bucks Suns.
Wait. Bucks Suns or what?
Bucks Suns or Nets Warriors. What's more likely?
Nets Warriors.
Are you just being a Suns hater? Or
no, I don't hate really the Suns. You already know I adopted them for a couple weeks last year.
Okay. You gave them back, took a couple of cute Instagram photos, took them back to the pound.
Yeah, because that's all they deserved after not closing the deal, buddy. After not closing the deal, got to be able to close.
You guard Giannis. I don't. I'm not upset about it.
All right, Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer has now the Urban Meyer stories are finally starting to leak out. We find out now that the dude is in addition to being a bad coach in the NFL, that he made more bad decisions when he was at Ohio State. No wonder. Like I've said this from the jump, Ralph, you don't start out making bad decisions and then, you don't all of a sudden, 20 years into coaching and, you know, just start making poor choices. He's been doing this a long time. He was just winning, so people didn't care. And now one of his former players comes out and says that after the Trayvon Martin was killed in Florida, that Urban Meyer put up a thing on the projection screen and said, hey, guys, the moral of the story from this, don't wear hoodies. What? How about instead of don't be racist and don't be shooting people? Nah, guys, you don't wear hoodies, though.
Do you think it was a situation where they're just trying to control what they could control? It's obviously in terrible taste. But like,
no, I think he's got no fucking awareness. He's got zero awareness. Instead of being like, oh my God, I have a whole team full of black guys who are making me rich. Hey guys, you guys are going through this. I understand. And the reality is this, is that these people out here, that there are people that see you a different way. They see you as a threat. And you should not have to back down in any way from how you want to look, how you want to dress. And you wear your hoodies and all of this stuff. However, you do have to be extremely cautious because you are in a different situation. But we're going to we're going to help to fight this stigma against you guys. Because I want to keep getting rich. I want to keep winning national championships. I want to keep winning games. So I don't want any of you shot.
Right. Well, Urban Meyer admits that this happened, but he says it was a situation where whatever they were talking about was outsourced to staffers. No coaches were in the meeting. So it's not something he's taken any responsibility for, but he is acknowledging that it did happen, which I think is important, which brings me to this, George. Like,
he wasn't going to be able to deny it anymore, bro.
I understand. I'm not giving him too much of the benefit of the doubt. But here's my question for you, because you at some point you do have to go to intent, because you know, as a father in your situation, if you believed that not wearing a hoodie would make your one ten-thousandth of a percent of a chance make your kids' lives safer, is that something that you present to them, even though it's, you don't want them to feel like it's their fault, but like if racism is manifesting itself in a way that endangers your kids, are you put in a situation where you have to control what you can control acknowledge that the dangers out there exist and tell your kids, like, it's unfair that you have to live to this different standard, but, like, you got a hoodie on, keep that hood down. Like, let people see your,
absolutely,
your face.
Bro, it's cold outside. You normal people wear hoodies outside when it's cold. So
you're
no,
damn right. I just don't know. You know, so, I haven't been in this situation.
The, That's a legitimate question. So that's why I say, like, my actual, I guess, answer to that is, like, okay, like, yes, these things are true when they're happening and all of this stuff. But I'm not going to ask them to switch up a freaking hoodie. No. Like, if you're walking, like, I'm going to be like, yo, be careful of having stuff in your hands, or like, if people, if the police approach you or anything like that, hands up, be a scene, like, stuff like that. But I'm not telling you to change your freaking clothes, bro. Like, I'm not. Like that's absolutely outrageous. When it's almost like telling a woman, hey, yo, don't wear skirts around guys, okay? Because then they get a little horny and then you might get raped. So
yeah, no,
instead of saying,
I understand. I have a really good friend who took a lot of flack with, he did a college program where he was the only male, and they got into a conversation where he advised them, like, please don't pump gas with headphones in. Don't go jogging with headphones in.
Yeah.
He was trying to give some practical advice to say, like, acknowledging what's out there. And people got really, really upset with him. They got their feelings hurt because they felt like he was putting some of the responsibility for the potential of assault onto them. And what he was saying is, you have to acknowledge the way of the world. And it's sad that you have to do that, but please protect. It's better to protect yourself in those situations.
See, I fully subscribe to that theory. And the thing I was going to say is that I'm a big black man, but at the same time, like, while people should never, like, try to rob me, right? I also understand at the same time is that I also am very cautious about going to the ATM at night. Or I try to keep myself in lower risk situations. So I do think that there's some responsibility on me to make sure, like, okay, like, let me not try to put myself in these situations as little bit as possible, even though I should be safe. I should be safe going to the ATM at night. I should be safe pumping gas at night. And I'm not talking about as a black man, but just a human being, right?
Right.
But at the same time, like, I shouldn't be responsible for my own safety in that situation. But at the same time, I am responsible for my own safety, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It's not fair. And I think that there's a lot of people that are obsessed with the idea of fairness. And it's just not. There has to be some practical acknowledgement of the physical dangers of racism. Or many other circumstances. There has to be practical acknowledgement of the dangers of those things. And unfortunately, in an unfair manner, there are people who have to try to circumvent those things with their actions. I just don't know where that line is. I don't know where that line is drawn to where you can't even have that conversation because it crosses the point of being well-meaning into offensive, much in the way that this situation with Ohio State football did.
Yeah. And so, listen, guys to be more careful, people. Guys to be more careful. That's all. I mean, just think about how you would want to be received in the same situation and what you would want to tell your kid about how they should handle themselves in the situation. All right. Last thing up. The Super Bowl may be impacted by COVID, and that is because COVID is surging, and now there's a situation, and the NFL is putting in contingency plans in case the Super Bowl has to be moved from Los Angeles to, let's say, Dallas or Houston. And the NFL already, like, this is its crowning achievement. It wants the games here in LA. This is why Stan Kroenke built his facility, all of this. And the best thing that the game itself has going for it is the fact that it's not an actual dome. It's like a shroud over the top, but it's still outdoors technically. And the other part of it is that I don't think the game itself will be impacted as much as the parties and all the other stuff that normally goes on during the Super Bowl will be impacted.
Maybe for some people, but for everyone that says they're going to take a break from Super Bowl festivities, you'll have somebody willing to step in and take their place. I think we're at the point where we're not going back in the house. It's not going back. As long as there's an event to be had, people are going to show up. Especially if they're talking about moving it to Houston, George.
Yeah.
Then people are going to stay in the house in Houston in February. Hell no. They are not.
Hell no.
I'm not sure they ever did in the first place.
Hey, but Texas and Florida are canceling events. Like they've canceled concerts and stuff like that because of COVID. So
but that might be the individual artists. That might be the individual artists or the venues who don't want to assume liability. People are going to find a way to have a good time. They just are. Especially, and one of the biggest mistakes I made in the early part of the pandemic was not unfollowing everybody from 18 to 24 that I followed on social media from my time that I spent covering them as high school athletes. It's not like I'm some weirdo creeper or something like that who just follows a bunch of 18 to 24 year olds. My job was to cover them. I continued to follow them on social media, see how their careers progress. And these people were out, house parties, clubs. Like there was not the same pandemic for the Zoomers that there was for everybody else. There just wasn't. They might have had limited options, but I'm telling you, they figured it out. They partied on boats. They partied. They rented out giant houses to have parties. They still went out there. Like they're still, especially in Houston. We're just talking about James Harden going to strip clubs during the pandemic. Like they have ample opportunity in Houston and Dallas and everywhere else that you're going to have a Super Bowl to make sure that plenty of people come out and. And I mean, they just had the Passion Worship Conference in Atlanta.
That is wild.
And it was packed. It was packed. So hey, like bro, people. If Christian music artists and speakers aren't going to surrender their checks for the sake of the kingdom here on earth in the now, it's definitely not going to happen for the Super Bowl. So no. I don't know. It would have to be pretty strict from the NFL on down. And I just don't see that happening.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. It is going to take, it would take an act of God. 31 billionaires, bro. They want their checks, homie. They need all of them, and they want to have their meetings and everything else and their coronations and their parties and everything else. So, but yep, you guys, that is Rice or Wrong for the day. We are happy to be back in 2020. You guys make sure that you like the feed, share the feed, tell a friend about it and everything else. All right, you guys, peace out. Catch you guys next episode.